Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
My good friend Tom Jones has written a column, part of his newsletter actually, on pointer.org that is a must-read if you're an NFL fan, if you're a Taylor Swift fan, or maybe you're just a fan of one or the other or neither. Very insightful column about the dynamic that is the NFL. Kansas City Chiefs, of course, headed to the Super Bowl to play the San Francisco 49ers. So much out there about this Super Bowl already and about the dynamic that is the greatest pop singer and songstress right now in the world, and certainly has the receipts to prove that. So we're going to get into all of that and some opinions on it and what she has done for the NFL in their ratings, which is just incredible. That's coming up in just a second. I wanted to start with the Bucs news. They are into their interviewing process for a new offensive coordinator to replace Dave Canales, who, of course, is now the head coach of the Carolina Panthers. He has taken one of the Bucs' assistants, wide receivers coach Brad Idzik, who followed him in here from Seattle. He is the son of John Idzik, the former Bucs' assistant GM and the GM of the New York Jets. Grew up here in Palm Harbor, but now headed out to Carolina to be their offensive coordinator, although my understanding is that Canales will retain the play-calling duties. But so the Bucs obviously in the market for an offensive coordinator. And I think this is smart. Like, so they, you know, they shot their shot and they tried to get, you know, some big-name guys and, you know, the Ken Dorseys and guys like this, but weren't able to do so. And yet, here's a couple of guys that have a connection with Baker Mayfield. And that is not, I think, an accident, okay? Alex Van Pelt, former Cleveland Browns offensive coordinator, was in town, and that was on Monday. He interviewed with the Bucs in person, which is another step. You know, usually, very often, there's a sort of a virtual call, and then they set it up. But they brought him in right away on Monday. Mayfield was there with him in 2020 and 2021 when he was the offensive coordinator, I think, and quarterback's coach. He had a career high 95.9 passer rating that year in 2020. Threw for over 3,500 yards, 26 touchdowns, only 8 interceptions. And then the Browns went on to beat the Steelers in the playoffs, 48-37 in a wild card game where he passed for 263 yards and 3 touchdowns. Van Pelt, by the way, you might recognize that name. He coached here. He started really his coaching career in the NFL. One of his first stops was in Tampa Bay. He was Raheem Morris's quarterback's coach for a couple of seasons, going back to 2010 and 2011. So he was part of that staff. Very interesting, I think, candidate. As I mentioned, they couldn't get Ken Dorsey. Here's a guy that had a lot of quarterbacks last year, 3 or 4, actually ended up with Joe Flacco, of course, and we remember the success he had. But this is somebody that certainly Baker Mayfield knows, Baker Mayfield has had success with. There might not be a great carryover in terms of offensive schemes and systems, you know, for all the players, but certainly Mayfield would have that. And then, let's see, they also are going to talk, or plan to talk with Gerard Johnson, who's the Lions receivers coach, Antoine Randall, who was a guy that coached here. He's a Lions receivers coach. I'm sorry. Jared Johnson is the Texas quarterbacks coach, and he had C.J. Stroud and all the success with them. Plan to interview him, Randall, I mentioned. And then also former Eagles offensive coordinator Brian Johnson, who was at the University of Florida at one point with Kyle Trask. So that's another connection there. And then the connection to Baker Mayfield, one more, which is a really interesting interview, I think. Rams passing game specialist Jake Peets. And Jake has been around this league. He was in college at LSU, and I think it – I don't know if he went to A&M or not with Jimbo, but he is coming from Sean McVay's offense, which had some carryover to Seattle, and he had, you know, he had Baker Mayfield there for about 5 weeks. And Baker Mayfield, of course, came in and in a couple days won that game against the Raiders. I think it was on a Thursday night. Kind of rediscovered his love for football while he was out there. But they really liked him and liked working with him. And so Jake is somebody that I think will do very well in the interview and will get a good look as well. So Brian Johnson was the one that was Florida's offensive coordinator that had Trask that I mentioned. So, yeah, a number of candidates. And I think, you know, there's no timetable on this thing. And people have asked, and of course, in-house, you know, you have Thad Lewis that they will, I would imagine, would interview as well. And Thad's got some requests to talk to the Bills and the Raiders. But I'm always interested in it. People go, what are they doing? What's taking so long? Look, these other teams are hiring coordinators. Why are the Bucs dragging their feet? Listen, first of all, Canales has only been gone since like last Thursday. Okay, it hadn't been a week. And then the other thing is that a lot of these coaches, when they get head coaching jobs to these new staffs, or even a current staff has an opening, it's about relationships, man. Like, some of these guys are promised to these coaches, you know? And I can remember, of course, the Bucs have had so many head coaching searches that I would talk to candidates and they go, yeah, I'm going to give you, you know, here are the guys that have agreed to come with me. That's like, wait a minute, they don't have jobs and you don't have the job, but you already know who you're, yeah, they've committed to me. And that's sort of what happens, right? It's the relationships, who you coach with, et cetera. And some of these guys are spoken for as much as anything. It's kind of why Dave Canales, quite frankly, is a head coach, because Dan Morgan, who was in Seattle for 8 years, is now the general manager and the president of football ops. So he went and got his buddy to be head coach. That's how it's done. And so the idea that, well, they're dragging their feet, well, you may not, obviously you didn't have a very good chance at getting these guys anyway. That's why they didn't take the interview, because they were promised to somebody else or they had their own reasons. Maybe they think the situation in Philadelphia, for example, is better than Tampa. You know, I think Todd Bowles is in a far better position than he was a year ago, but you're only a losing streak away, right? So that's all part of it. And they still don't have Baker Mayfield under contract, although I think that, you know, both sides want that to happen, and it probably will. That's kind of what's been going on with the Bucs. I don't know how quickly the timetable is. When they find their guy, when Todd Bowles is comfortable, he didn't know Dave Canales. It took him a while to get comfortable with him. He does know what he wants to do. And again, I think, not that it's, because I've talked to Baker's representatives and they said, look, he's had so many offensive systems that he's learned and so many coaches. He's completely adaptable. It's not an issue. Now, would you prefer to have somebody in a system that you've had before? No question, because now you're taking that and you're moving forward, but not a requirement by far, but just a smart thing to do if you're the Bucs. All right, we'll get to Tom Jones in just a minute. I want to give a shout out to, this is kind of self-serving, but he's really one of our best listeners, and so I'm going to do this. He's the freshman Senate sponsor at Steinbrenner High School, Mr. Lingerfelt, who is him and his wife say that we are, Steve, we are required listening every day for them. So
we should be for the whole school. I mean, really.
I just play it on the morning announcements if I were them. I don't know.
That's your morning show. That's all you need.
There you go. Just play it, you know, put the speaker down and put the mic down and play our podcast. You should all do that. But thanks for listening over there, Mr. Lingerfelt. We appreciate it and all that you do for the freshman Senate class as well. For the past 14 years, the skilled pros of May Electric Solar have been installing solar energy systems in Florida. They provide the most reliable solar equipment, the best installation methods and service, while helping homeowners cut energy costs with environmentally friendly investment. May Electric Solar uses their own skilled employees, never subcontractors. They've always offered the safest and most reliable equipment. Well, now May Electric Solar offers a 30-year no-cost equipment replacement and labor warranty. That means for 30 years, May Electric Solar, backed by Solar Insure, means that your roof, electrical, and equipment replacement is all covered. Solar Insure also survives May Electric Solar, and it's owned by the homeowner with no deductibles or additional fees. Now, this policy will transfer to new homeowners with no fee. This is not a blanket insurance policy. In fact, only the best contractors are allowed to be part of the program. May Electric Solar's reputation and their history of workmanship has earned them this membership. To learn more about May Electric Solar's installation and their 30-year warranty, call 727-819-2862 or visit mayelectricsolar.com. All right, special treat, my friend Tom Jones of pointer.org. Tommy, you hit him right between the eyes, man. Where I live with a couple of teenage girls, one that's 12, one that's 14, and all of America is talking about not just the Super Bowl that's coming up between the Chiefs and the 49ers, but the real story, which is, get ready, America, right off your headline, Taylor Swift is headed to the Super Bowl, and oh my, CBS is thrilled about this. But there's a lot of layers to this, Tommy, and I think you hit on a lot of great points. First of all, what is it like? So you know, you cover the media, you follow these things, not just in sports, but politics, all of that. What has this been like watching the reaction throughout the NFL season to the Taylor and Kelce phenomenon?
So it goes one of two ways. One, of course, like a lot of people, they love it. They see it for what it is, which is the biggest sports entertainment, maybe the biggest entertainment entity in the country, the National Football League, and maybe at the moment, at least for the moment, the most popular singer-songwriter on the planet, one of the biggest celebrities on the planet. They joined forces. This is like a superhero movie, man. Them joining forces to take over the earth. Most people love it. But then you got a bunch of people who are upset about it. I got an email. We're taping this late Monday night.
Right.
I get an email this morning after I wrote my newsletter. And all it said was, geez, like G-E-E-E-Z-Z-Z-Z. Geez, ugh. And I wrote the person back. And it's somebody that I think writes me now and then, yeah, and they're usually pretty normal. And I said, I don't know what geez ug means.
Right, right.
And they wrote back, it means no more Taylor Swift. I've had enough. And so I wrote back, why? Tell me, be serious.
You have an audience? Tell me why.
I haven't heard back from them. Mm-hmm. I can only assume there are kids on this guy's lawn that he has to yell at to get off, or there's a cloud in the sky that's not moving fast enough for him. I don't understand why people are bothered by this. And the great thing about it is the New York Times did something really smart. They actually went back over all the games that Taylor Swift has shown up that the Chiefs have played in, and then looked at the broadcast and figured out how long she is on camera for. Now, yesterday, or on Sunday, when she was obviously there after the game a lot. And
there was a post-game.
Yeah. Well, mm-hmm. What are you missing post-game? You're right. Not missing anything. So I think they figured out that she's on camera for an average of less than 25 seconds a game out of 3 hours. And a lot of those times, she's not even mentioned. They just show a photo. It's not even – or show her on camera. No one even actually comments. I think Jason Kelce got more of a run a week or two ago
in the
Buffalo game. So I just think this is the greatest thing ever. And Rick, you can attest to it. I don't have teenage girls. You have – one's a teenager, right? And the other one's about
one's
to be
12. Yeah, she's essentially – one's going on 20 and the other one's –
assume they're Swifties, right?
Absolutely.
Now, are they paying attention to the NFL because of Taylor Swift?
Not even, yes, yeah. Way more, especially the 14-year-old. So a little history. So my 14-year-old Natasha – she knows what her dad does for a living, and the games are always on when I'm not working. I'm, you know, very often watching Monday night or Thursday night or whatever's going on. And she's smart enough to know she gets it. She gets the NFL, but she won't sit and watch an entire game. If the Chiefs are on, different deal, buddy.
Right?
Even if it's 25 seconds, it doesn't matter. She not only knows Travis Kelce, and I thought you made this point, and I thought it was a good one. Because I am a dad, and we're in a sports family, and so we do talk a lot about that, and it's the way that we communicate and we, you know, kind of connect, right, through sports. And my wife's, her father was the same way with my wife. So they have that connection. But this is different. This is something really different because I was aware of Taylor Swift, you know what I mean, growing up she's been in the music business since – forever, right? She's got 10 albums, all that. And I went to a concert at Raymond James. My wife took Natasha to one in Detroit. But even superseding that, It just the amount of conversations we've had about football, about life, and yes, about love. Like this is a. I'm sorry. I'm a sap. I love love. I said it. I love love. And I don't know where these two crazy kids are going to go with this. And if it crashes, I've said this and I've said it on this podcast. She's known to break up with gentlemen, or they break up with her, and then there's a song or an album that comes out. And I've already named this next one Travesty. If it happens, okay. That's just the way it's going to go. Travesty. You and me and Casey. Well, whatever. So here's the thing. I don't, this may have to go the distance, right? But it is fascinating to me that a music icon and a now a billionaireess, she has had an impact on global economies, Tom.
Yes.
You know, and that's why her next tour is in Japan, and she's got a bunch in Canada and South America, because I think part of our comeback might be responsible as for Taylor Swift's tour. But it has been something to watch. And I think, you know, it's just, she's not on camera. She doesn't take away from the game. I'm not thinking about Taylor Swift, but it allows for the conversations to occur. And it's just more connectivity. And that's what the NFL has benefited from, is that a legion of otherwise not NFL fans, maybe not necessarily sports fans. I think I saw a story somewhere where they said that the marketing impact was over $330 million to the Kansas City Chiefs and to the NFL.
I will. The thing that bothers me is when people get upset. They're like, oh, they sure, I don't want to see her on camera. Okay, what are you going to see if we don't show, if Taylor Swift's not at the game?
Between the plays.
They're showing between the plays. So it's not like you're missing game action.
No.
So what you're missing is a crowd shot. You're missing Andy Reid looking at a clipboard, trying to figure out what his next play is.
Yeah.
You're looking at somebody sitting on, going into the tent
or whatever. The injury tent.
Yeah. Okay. Which you could argue, okay, maybe that's actually relevant. They don't interrupt that sort of thing for Taylor Swift. But what you're not missing the game. You're not missing anything. The other part that really gets me, Rick, is that this idea of, and this is the die, and I'm speaking now to the diehard football fan who feels like this is a distraction. This, I'm bugged by this. I don't want to see Taylor Swift on my NFL. Who put you in charge of the game is just for you? Like, where's this? All of a sudden, you're in charge of who gets into your club and who doesn't get into your club. This is a chance to bring in more fans, even if it's temporary, even if it's only for one team a week, whatever. If somebody else is getting enjoyment out of this, and it's not taken away from, I don't understand how it's taken away from your enjoyment. We're not missing game action. I just don't understand this idea that I'm in charge of what should be on a football game, and I've decided that Taylor Swift shouldn't be on there. And this is the other big thing, Rick, that really gets to me. And the people who feel this way, I think, have no idea. And I think you get it because you have females as children. The connection that Taylor Swift has to females, particularly to young females, this idea of empowerment, this idea of that they have a voice,
yes,
this idea that they mean something,
yes,
that they are worth something. Mm-hmm. I don't think people understand, people who are dumb on this, they don't get the power, the connectivity she has with young women, and to somehow, like, let's try to snuff that out is gross, in my opinion. It's misogynistic. It's sexist. Get over yourselves. And you can still enjoy the game. Just ignore the 25 seconds she's on screen.
I'm glad you said that, because here's the thing, right? There's almost this, like, we would rather see the Dallas Cowboy cheerleaders, right?
Right.
And what all that entails, okay? The shorts, the whole deal. Then we want to see somebody who's in a relationship with one of the main players. And again, to your point, or the New York Times, 25 seconds in a 3-hour broadcast.
I don't care if it's somebody. Yeah, right. And I don't care if it's 2 minutes.
I can't get enough. I now want more.
I know.
And here's the thing. She's in the box with Brittany Mahomes. So it's not like they're not going to show that box anyway. Mama Kelsey is there. You don't think when Philadelphia played Kansas City, they weren't going to have a camera on that box, whether Taylor Swift was there or not? Of course they were. Right? So they have those shots all the times of families, of, you know, various people that are in and around those athletes. And that's just the world that they live in. Very often you'll have celebrity couples that include a football player. And it was no different going back in the day when Joe and Jennifer Montana were together. She was a model, chic sheriff, you know, all that stuff. So this is not necessarily new, but it's just, I think you're right. I think if you really drill down into what Taylor Swift, why is she so popular? Why do so many women connect? It's because of the empowerment message, right, that she is giving young women. And it's a positive one. If it wasn't, believe me, those albums and those songs wouldn't be on my radio all the time. But if you listen to them, you know, and you listen to her speak and some of the speeches she's given at you know, commencements and things like that, it's all good. And I don't know. I think Travis Kelce, look, all I know is this. When she shows up, he plays better.
He played out of his mind on Sunday.
That game was unbelievable.
He threw the ball to him 11 times. He caught 11. He caught all 11 of them.
Yeah. And I mean, hard catches. That touchdown catch was ridiculous. And the thing is, he's all Mahomes has. Like, Mahomes doesn't have any out. Tyreek Hill is not there, right? He's not coming through that door. Their receivers are not good, right? Valdez-Scantling from local player, you know, like, they're not, they've dropped balls, they're not good. And yet this dude, who is having a phenomenal season, maybe towards the end of his career, his brother is retiring most likely, you know, he's got a, you know, fallen in love with the biggest star in music globally.
Well, and name another person, Rick, and I don't think I can. Name another. The NFL, by far, is the most popular thing.
Not even close to anything, right.
So the most, and I wrote about this in Monday's newsletter, the most watched U.S.-based broadcast in history was $115 million last year's Super Bowl, Kansas City versus Philadelphia. There's more than likely this year's game will surpass that because of one person. Because of Taylor Swift, they're probably going to get an extra, my guess is 2 or 3 million. Because look, the Super Bowl, 115 million people are watching. Clearly, there are a lot of people who are going to watch this game. Say Baltimore had been in it. And say they had beaten Kansas City on Sunday. A lot of people who don't typically watch football watch the Super Bowl. You get together for parties.
No question. It's a holiday. It's a national holiday.
It's become a cultural event. It's the biggest gathering event for our country. And it's one of the few things we can, in this polarizing time in our country, everybody agrees we love football, or we at least love the Super Bowl. And yet, with all these people who still get together and watch the game, like I know, my wife is a casual football. She watched a little bit of the games on Sunday. But I know people, and I don't mean to pick, it's just women or whatever, but there are the number of women who watch the Super Bowl is greater than, obviously, the number of women who watch the regular season. Now add an even different level with young women who are going to watch this game because of Taylor Swift. She will add, I think, 2 or 3 to 5 million people extra who will watch this game. And you're talking about the NFL. Like, it can't get any bigger, right? Oh, yes, it can. You throw in the biggest pop star in the world.
Well, you had, you know, you're talking about the TV ratings and the 27 million viewers for the Sunday game, the biggest game since last year's Super Bowl. So teen girls jumped 53%.
Yeah.
Teen girls. And then ratings among women 18 to 24 was up 24%, and viewership of women over the age of 35 was 34%. So the cross-section
just
goes,
on her games, just the games that Taylor Swift went to. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, that... I don't need to tell you, the NFL knows what they have here, and I'm sure they're thrilled that Kansas City made it. Now, there's the conspiracy. I love the conspiracy theorists. It's rigged. The NFL wanted the Chiefs. You know, why did they get the conning call, but then Kelce didn't get one? You know, okay. All I know is this, is that I watch these guys for 6 and 7 months, and they pound their bodies, and they lift weights, and they run in the heat, and they put on pads, and they sacrifice limb, literally. If you think that the NFL can stop these guys from trying to fulfill a lifelong dream of going to a Super Bowl, I don't want to get in the way of that truck, okay?
Exactly.
I'm not going to be the guy that's going to say, hey, here's the script. You guys got to follow it. I mean, this is ridiculous. I hear a lot of conspiracy theories these days in the world, right? And you do too. But like maybe some things are rigged. Wrestling, for example.
What?
Hate to break it. I know. It could be. I just have my theory. But you go beyond that, you know, look, the man did land on the moon, okay? That wasn't just a desert in Arizona. I mean, that really happened.
I saw that movie Capricorn 1. I don't know, man. It looked pretty good.
Well, I talked to Buzz Aldrin.
Do you remember that movie, by the way? Capricorn 1?
I do.
Came out in the 70s. I had James, you know, so you know who, there was a football connection to that movie. James Brolin was one of the guys.
JB.
So the in case no one has ever seen this movie, and which I imagine if you're under the
probably
age
if you're
50,
under the age of 50, yeah.
So what happened was they had this moon. They were supposed to go to the United States was supposed to go to the moon, and there was a problem with the rocket, but they didn't want to admit to the American public. So they sent these guys out to the desert, and then they had to basically kill them and say that they crashed on their way back to Earth, and that was going to be the story. But the guys escape. And one of them is James Brolin. You know who one of the astronauts was?
No.
O.J. Simpson.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
The juice.
Did the gloves fit? No.
Pre-problems.
Yeah.
But it was... O.J. Simpson was in a lot of movies,
I think.
Yeah, he was.
Towering Inferno comes to mind, I believe.
The Naked Gun. He was...
Naked Gun, yeah. Was,
yeah.
That's right. We'll
Warburg,
have to do
right? yeah.
our favorite OJ movies here for 500, Alex. But,
yeah, maybe not. But
maybe not. But no, that, yeah, so.
But these conspiracy theories, yeah.
I don't believe any of them.
People don't believe that.
No, they do. I'm telling
Chiefs,
you.
That the Chiefs got in because Walt Taylor.
Yes. And you know what? And so my, and who knows what the origin of this is, right? But my daughter, after the game, is getting texts from people that, that was rigged. They just wanted Taylor Swift. Like, it's like, come on, man. Did they want her? Yes. Are they thrilled? Absolutely. Could they control whether or not Baltimore could complete five passes in the first half, including one to himself, Lamar Jackson? No.
One size fits all seemed like a good idea for clothes.
Nice dress.
It's a t-shirt.
Until you tried it on. Same goes for your healthcare. That's why UnitedHealthcare offers a variety of flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. So whether you're between jobs, coming off a parent's plan, or even missed open enrollment, you can find the plan that fits you best. Find out more about UnitedHealthcare coverage at UH1.com. That's UH1.com.
I didn't want to do this, but I'm going to because I think it's necessary. And I know you were very good, closer to me, closer than I was even to Martin Fenley, our good friend at the Tampa Tribune, Tampa Bay Times, longtime columnist. I saw some of the things you wrote and I thought they were poignant. People don't realize like, or maybe they do or don't care, I don't know, that, you know, when you do what we do, whether it's, you know, for you're with people from a different newspaper or even one that we competed with all the time, and then Martin joined us. But like you spend more time with colleagues very often during football seasons or sports seasons, which is pretty much year round. If you're a columnist, especially, then sometimes you do your own family. You know what I mean? Like it's just that's just the business, right? We spend a lot of time on the road together.
Yes,
and you certainly did with Martin, and so you got to know him much more closely than I did. But if you're not aware, Martin Fenley, longtime columnist, a terrific wordsmith. He made me laugh all the time, not just his columns, but especially away from from writing.
Yeah.
And that's what I'll remember about him is that the dude was one of the funniest guys I can ever have ever encountered. But just your kind of thoughts on losing him, age 65.
Yeah.
Died of a heart attack Friday.
I knew I first met Martin back when I was with the Tampa Tribune and he came on at the Tampa Tribune. And then obviously all the years that I came back to the Times and he was still at the Tribune, we covered a lot, just like you covered a lot of events together.
Yeah.
And then he came over to the Times and was a columnist, the last several years of his career. And we traveled again together. And I can remember columns that he wrote, but that's not what I remember about Martin. I remember, you know, I think of this about you too, Rick, like I can remember stories we worked on together. I can remember, you know, stories that you wrote or were working on in press boxes, but that's not what I remember when I think of you working with you. I remember us going to like Green Bay, you know, in a bar in Green Bay a night before a game and a guy trying to get
know.
Into the,
I don't know. We could tell those stories.
You know, I mean, we guy tried to pee in the same urinal as me and he got mad when I told him to get away from me, but stuff like that, like you and I, you know, I can remember dinners on the road. I can remember what we do on the road. And that's the thing with Martin. I posted something on Facebook.
You're not Top Gun, Tom. Just
yeah,
to
you're not Top. That's what somebody told you one night. Yeah. You're not Top Gun, whatever that means. But there was a I posted something on Facebook of I was trying to look for a photo in my phone of did I have any photos of me and Martin together? And I did. It was one. It was almost a selfie of me with Martin in the background. We were having dinner, and Eric Erlandson from the Tampa Tribune was there as well. This was 2015.
Okay.
During the Stanley Cup Eastern Conference Finals, the Lightning are playing the New York Rangers, and there was a day game.
Oh, wow.
And we went out to dinner that night, and and it was at a New York restaurant, and that was my favorite photo anyway, because that's what Martin loved more than anything else. Martin's big thing was, it wasn't like, what are you writing? What are you working on? It was, where are we eating after the game? Where are we going? You want to get breakfast? I know a late night breakfast place we could go.
Yeah.
And that's what Martin was all. And you would go and you would talk about anything. You at one moment might be talking about Obamacare. Mm-hmm. And literally 5 minutes later, he's asking you, okay, three worst 70s sitcoms, go. And you, and that would be your conversation for an hour. And you would laugh. And the thing that I said about Martin, he was, at whatever table he was at, he was the funniest, the smartest, the wisest, but somehow he made you feel like you were the funniest guy or the smartest guy. Or the
because he was such a good audience.
Yes.
I mean, he genuinely laughed at everything that you said, you know what I mean? And it was genuine. That's just who he was. He was a very,
I think that's what made him such a great writer, Rick, is that he he listened to people when he talked to them, when he interviewed them. And that's what made him a great friend and a great conversationalist is he'd listen to other people as they were talking to him.
Yeah,
he would play off of it. So he's going to be – he's missed. I traded texts with his son on Monday, and Romano wrote a really – a really good column in the Tampa Bay Times. It really captured him and talked to his daughter and some of his close friends. But, yeah, he'll be greatly missed. He was a
– The part in that column that struck me, and it was so Martin, in addition to wearing shorts everywhere, was that he had a closet full of awards. He won them all the time. I mean, we were aware of it because somebody would say, you know, you'd see the contest or whatever. And he had a closet full of awards, and they were just thrown in the closet. And his daughter didn't even know what all these things that they existed. And then here are all these awards that he just toss them aside. Like, I know they mattered to him, but they didn't matter to him, right?
There was a scatterbrain sort of part of it. It was almost like a mad genius. I don't know if you got this call. I was talking with Mike Sherman, our former sports editor at the Times, and he was there when Martin was there. And I remember this, Rick. We used to fill out predictions every week for the NFL games, and we were on a spreadsheet. I don't know if you remember this.
Yeah.
And your name,
I think I erased a few of your scores. Yes.
So I don't think you did. Martin erased everybody's scores somehow. He didn't know how he did it. So every Friday night at about 7 o'clock, I'd get a phone call and I'd look at my phone. It was from Mike Sherman, and I knew exactly what it was that he would call up. He goes, "All right, Navy Notre Dame. Who did you pick?" And I was like, "Notre Dame." And then he said, "Okay,
NFL." What's the score?
So and he would switch over to the NFL games, and that's every week Martin would somehow erase like four picks from everybody, and we had to go back in. So some weeks I would try to outweigh Martin. Like, I'm going to let him fill it out first.
That's right, yeah.
And that way I only have to do it once, and no matter how long I waited, he still managed to go back in.
I will say that for a lot of us, including him, technology was not his friend.
So we were on the night of the national championship game between Clemson and Alabama that was at Raymond James Stadium. Right. Back
down
in
to the wire.
2016 or something like that. So we go there that night, and on that night, we used to write, and we had different ways in which we wrote stories and would send them in. Well, that night, for the first time ever, Mike Sherman decides we're going to write in Google Docs, which is what everybody, I think, writes in now. But we had never done that before. So I said, have you told Martin yet that this is what we're doing? He said, no, I'm going to tell him now. I go, I need to go to the bathroom. Let me go to the bathroom. And then I want to watch you tell him. And we, of course, went down there and he tells him. And of course, Martin's reaction is like, tonight's the night we're doing this. It was, but that's, and then he would, of course, write the better column than anybody had ever written.
Oh, he could outwrite anyone.
Yeah.
So. I mean, just the, I'm not going to quote a lot of them, but I mean, I think John did a good job of capturing sort of what his style was. But one time, one of the many times the Bucks would get the hell beat out of him in Green Bay, his lead was, it was the best of times, it was the bratwurst of times. It's just a throwaway line. I just laugh.
Yeah, I think the hardest thing to do is to write funny.
Yeah.
And he could write funny. And
yes, without trying. I mean, it was effortless for him.
And he was also one of those guys, too. And I kind of, as a columnist, I kind of liked working at the same place as him because there were sometimes you would get a call like, hey, there's a guy that's been to like 75 years worth of Gibbs High School basketball games. Like some, you know, it's like some.
Yeah, you're like, come on, I don't
like,
care.
I don't want to do that column. Yeah. I'm sure it'll be touching and it'll be great. And or some guy who's worked at a golf course for, you know, hasn't missed a day of work and 23 years and he sets the greens and I'm like, ugh. Martin loved those columns, loved them, and would go out and would write them 10 times better than I could ever write them. But I was always thankful that I just want to write about the Bucks. He was like, I'll go do the story on the backup, you know, assistant coach of the, he was cleaning bathroom stalls. Like, he loved that stuff. So
yeah, bodyguards and various people like that.
He caught he played catch with the dad from Field of Dreams and wrote a column about it. It was tremendous.
The guy who couldn't throw a baseball,
that's what I thought. But anyway, that's
it was a dead giveaway. Yeah, rest in peace, Martin. We're still laughing, you're still making us laugh. We always will, and we'll always smile when we think about him. So you know, really feel for his two children, of course, and all those that loved them. All right. Well, Tom, this has been a hoot as always, and they can read your column on Kelce and Taylor Swift and how...
I got more coming on it. So if you're listening to this on Tuesday morning, I got more to Taylor Swift. She's in Tokyo the night before the Super Bowl.
Oh, wow.
But because of the way the Earth works...
Or an international dateline. She's
doing a concert on Saturday night in Tokyo. And then she'll fly home right after the concert and get back Saturday night in San Francisco.
It's unbelievable. It is she will break the time continuum. And what's interesting about that is she'll be able to tell Travis how they did because she has come from the future.
Come from the future.
So she'll be able to say, congratulations, you won. He's like, well, I'm nervous as hell. We haven't started the game yet. Yeah. No, you're fine. This is going to go great. I already know. I've been to the future.
So. We got to stop the cliches. I've been guilty of it. We got to stop the shake it off, you know. It's because that's also gone out. Just like Houston, we have a problem. Like no more. We're done with that one.
I don't know. I mean, there's so many though. Like there's so many
like,
lyrics,
like winless in Seattle or scoreless in Seattle.
We're if not you're doing a that real anymore. Swiftie though, you got there's an unlimited amount. I mean, 10 albums. Look, I sat through that concert. I didn't sit. I stood through that concert.
That's what Stephen A. Smith did a thing on it, said it was the most amazing thing.
And I don't care whether you like the music or you don't, you will marvel at the production and also the stamina of this entertainer.
So apparently when she practices, she's on a treadmill. She'll go on a trip to get ready to prepare.
And sing her entire set.
And when it's a quick song where she's dancing, really dancing hard, she'll like sprint on the treadmill and then walk the rest of the whatever for 3.5 hours.
But I thought like you have to be on steroids. Like I don't know how this woman was still standing at the end of the night because I couldn't. And she was running around dancing, doing all these things, climbing, you know, scaffolding, and just like it is an incredible show. Which it's a massive production, obviously. And she's
so if that Scantling drops a ball in the first quarter, we might see her suit up and play.
She could
get him out of here, buddy.
She could. I don't know how her hands, but I mean, listen. She's not going to get tired. I can tell you that. So, and I love. I'm sorry. I mean, I'm wrapped in it. My, you know, he was mic'd up for CBS or somebody or inside the NFL, and I mean, you know, who's not taken aback by this embrace that they have at the middle of the field, and they don't care who's watching, and it's just, I don't know. I'm a sap that way, Tom. What can I tell you?
I think he wins the Super Bowl, wins the MVP, and then retires. And he goes off and just hangs out with Taylor Swift the rest of his life. Can you think of a better life than that?
He's already won, hasn't he?
Yeah, and really? He's going to be a super. He's going to be a TV superstar, a podcast.
His podcast has gained like 350,000 people. So
somebody suggested with Jason, and I think this is a great idea after watching the Buffalo thing. We need an Anthony Bourdain like type of show on CNN or something like that,
ooh,
where he travels around the NFL
stadium
and tailgates with
ooh,
people,
I like that.
And then talks about the, you know, and you could sell a show on that. You could get.
Although they said that he kind of was amped up and he took his shirt off because he didn't get to jump into a table, which is the whole Buffalo. Remember me and you walking through Buffalo into Arena Stadium,
yes,
and these guys are jumping on. But here's the newest thing. I don't know if it's new, but here's the thing I absolutely don't get, and it's an abomination. It's horrifying. Is they light these tables on fire, and they jump on them.
They need to win a Super Bowl soon.
Right?
Like, seriously, they're losing their minds.
I mean, my God. Like, these dudes are getting third-degree burns, aren't they?
You would think.
You can't. This isn't that guy from that commercial, you know, that, you know,
Mayhem,
Mr. Mayhem.
Guy? Yeah, yeah.
You know, like, these are real people. You know what I mean? It's crazy. So I'm glad that Travis, Kelsey's brother Jason, didn't at least do that. But, it's nuts. All right,
Tommy, think those guys end up on a sitcom together. That's what I would do. That'd be fun. They would be, you know, neighbors or something, married
not
to...
Not funny. I'll tell you what will happen, though, when Jason's retiring, right? Is I think he's...
He's supposedly going to retire.
So if he retires... So when Jason retires, and this happens to offensive linemen a lot, that man's going to lose 50, 60 pounds.
I know, right?
That's and you won't be able to tell him and Travis apart, because they look alike. Like, if you've seen photos of them when they were growing up, they're really they're brothers, all right? Like, they look strikingly alike. And so when Jason loses all this weight, everyone's going to go, you're Travis, right? No. Oh, Jason? What? It's going to be like that. So anyway, pointer.org. Check it out. Tom Jones. Thanks for joining me, Tommy.
All right. Thanks, Rick. Thanks, Steve.
Thanks for listening. We'll have all the updates on TampaBay.com as far as the coordinator's pursuit goes. And guess what? We liked it so much, we're going to do it twice. And Tom Jones will join us again tomorrow on the podcast. You can't wait. Wake the neighbors, call the kids, all of that. Thanks for listening. For Steve Versnick, I'm Rick Stroud of the Tampa Bay Times. Have a great day, everybody.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.